Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. It is Football Sunday here on WEEI. Arcan with you. Ted Johnson, Chris Schein, Megan Ottolini. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon, and we are here with you until kickoff at 1 o'clock. What you just heard was our own Stiz Grimey, WEEI Afternoons recap there of what was a very frustrating loss last week to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patriots taking on the Panthers here in a game that a lot of people, I think, had circled as a win this week. We'll get to the Panthers, and we'll get to what they did last week against the Atlanta Falcons. But we're going to go ahead and start with our biggest takeaways from last week's game, a game that featured, was really overshadowed, I would say. Featured's the wrong word. Completely overshadowed by all the turnovers. But we're going to go ahead and start with our main takeaways and main takes from the game. Ted Johnson, why don't you lead us off?
All right, here we go. A lot of talk this week, you guys, about Drake May being a top 10 quarterback. And if you look at some of the metrics, it would certainly suggest that. He's second in the league in completion percentage. He's fifth in the league in passing yards. He is seventh in the league in passing TDs. He is ninth in passer rating and ninth in EPA per play. And his PFF grade is at 14. So those all indicate that he's a top 10 quarterback. However, although I'm a Drake May fan, I just want to temper things a little bit. Because if you look at the first three opponents the Patriots have played, the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Steelers, all three of those teams are in the bottom third of defensive DVOA. So not great defenses that he's been getting these this production against. And then also you have to look at where offenses are as a whole this year versus other years. They are at a historical low in production, all right? The yards per game, the NFL is averaging 317 yards per game, is the lowest total in yards since 2005 and the third lowest in the century, this past century. So
in the century?
In that past century, yes. Wow. So all offenses are down, all right? And the three teams that they played were terrible defenses. So I want to look at Drake May through that prism. Although he is showing signs of improvement, I just want to keep things kind of in perspective. There's a lot of people, I think there's so much high expectations going into this season that this team was a playoff contender because of who? Because of Vrabel and because of what a lot of people think is going to be the big second-year bounce from Drake May. I like what I'm seeing. However, the turnovers, obviously, what we're going to talk about are a huge issue. And comparatively speaking to other his peers around the league, everyone is down. So that may be a reason why Drake May is up. So I'm just trying to tell people, although he has improved, it's still got a long way to go based on the things I just told you. That's my opening take.
All right. I know Shime wants to yell at you for that. But
I don't want to yell at him, but like I just think that if you just go by off of what you've seen, aside from the turnovers, he's been excellent so far this year.
Against bad teams, yeah.
Yeah, but like
bad defenses,
but
yeah.
Regardless, like it's an NFL defense. Like it's not this isn't, you know, some AAA game. Like this is legitimate NFL defenses, and I understand that the turnovers are a problem. I think the worst turnover from that game for Drake was the fumble. Like that to me is something that was inexcusable at that point. Just take your medicine, take your sack. But those are things that I think he's going to learn. I mean, you look at guys like Lamar Jackson in this league. These are his fumbles by year since he started as a quarterback in the NFL. 12, 9, 10, 6, 5, 11, 10. Like he fumbles the ball a ton. Granted, he doesn't throw a ton of interceptions, but like he fumbles the ball a lot. And so like I think Drake May can grow and learn from this. Even you look at a guy like Josh Allen, another guy that he's been compared to a ton, used to turn the ball over a ton, now turns the ball over like barely ever. It is very infrequent that he turns the football over. And so I think these are things that he will learn the more starts he gets. Again, he has not even started a full 16 games in the NFL. I think where he's
I can't
at,
wait till he gets to that so we can stop saying it. Yeah, man, I'm so ready for that.
That's fair and totally fine. I just think that at this point he is on a very good trajectory, right? Like, again, if you just clean up the turnovers, he immediately becomes a legitimate top 10 quarterback in football.
If he eliminates the turnovers, you know, he is on pace. Just real quick, this is a good time for me to insert my turnover thing. So I did a little research on the top two ball handlers for this team, Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson. Going back to last year and combining it with this year, the two, I'll tell you, Drake May averages 1.5 turnovers a game going back to last year. Ramondre Stevenson averages 0.5 turnover a game. When you combine the two, that is 2 turnovers that those two ball handlers average a game. That is not good. And if you want to just take Drake May and you play it out for the rest of the year, he's on pace so far to have 25.5 turnovers this year based on what we've seen so far. So it's hard to eliminate. I get it. But those are a big, big part of
wait,
assessing
the quarterback. Wait, how do you get 25.5?
Well, it's 17 games.
Yep. And he has 2 picks and 2 fumbles, correct?
2 picks and 2 fumbles?
Yeah. Are we doing math on air right now? This is a very dangerous thing that you're undertaking.
This is a dangerous road to go down.
17 times 1.5.
Yeah, well, all right. I'm already out
from
of this one.
And that's 25.5 turnovers.
Well, let me just say that my one takeaway, Ted, is that the Patriots play a lot more bad teams this year. I mean, it's not they've already gone up against some bad defenses, but, you know, between the Panthers, the Saints, the Titans, that's 3 of the next 4 teams you got coming up. Browns defense is good. Falcons is not. Bengals hasn't been. Jets, you got the Dolphins again. Like, a lot of the schedule this year is bad teams and bad defenses, so it kind of evens out, you know?
But the difference here, I think, with this Patriots team is that they have shown that they're not a bad team. Talent-wise, I actually think that they have a lot more to offer than maybe we thought in the middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. But they do really dumb stuff all the time. They play so dumb. And my question is, for somebody like Drake May, you can say that's about experience. He's going to have better composure as time goes on, you would think, because he's going to get the experience and he's not going to be so jumpy and, you know, revved up and everything. But with somebody like Ramondre Stevenson, this is who he is. Like, that is a feature of who he is. So at some point, I think you have to go down the roster, especially on offense, but even on defense. If you're going to have guys rotating in like Alex Austin at different points who are continually catching penalties on third down, in critical positions, like, these guys are not situationally sound. And is that because of experience, some really younger guys on the team and maybe learning a new system? Or do you have to look at some of these guys and go, well, are we willing to put up with this to have Ramondre Stevenson on the field for the upside he can provide for you?
Mega, what is your takeaway from the game?
I mean, that's my takeaway. They do dumb stuff all the time. And for a Mike Vrabel team, I just was not expecting that we would, even early in the season, be seeing as many mental hiccups, as many goof-ups as we've seen on both sides of the ball, and special teams, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that on top of an offense that leaves points off the board week after week, I think that's why they are 1-2 instead of 2-1. I don't subscribe to they could be 3-0, because I really don't think they were good in week one against the Raiders. But I do think that they should be 2-1, and that Steelers team they played last week stunk. They stunk. That is a bad team. I don't think this is a bad team. I think they're just dumb a lot of the time.
So the just to emphasize that, other things that would suggest they're dumb, just I think they're top 3 in penalties, right? So that's no bueno. I mean, not missing tackles isn't dumb, but you know, just situationally that you talk about, not the best on third down on either side of the ball. So those are clear indicators. And then, you know, Drake May, although he might have played a really good game, right up until he fumbled, that was a killer fumble right there. That was just a dumb play not to just hold the ball, go down. It was first down and 10 when he got strip sacked. You know, just if you were being smart in that situation, you would just go, okay, here comes the cavalry. I'm just going to cover the ball and go down. and live to see another down, but he didn't do that, and that's an example of what you're talking
about.
But
just to counter that too, like he at the same
we mentioned a Drake turnover, we got to counter it.
I'm just mentioning count. Like at the same time, like he was on such a bad team last year, he still is under the impression that he needs to make a play, right? And he doesn't understand that you can live to fight another day. He hasn't learned that quite yet because last year's team was so bad, you couldn't do that because if you just live to fight another day, you lose. Like, that's how bad that team was. This year, this team is very, very different in that regard, and you can live to fight another day. Your defense was good enough, especially last week. You were getting stops against Aaron Rodgers. You were getting the ball back. Like, you can just take the sack, and you can try and regroup and get into field goal range or anything like that, but I think that is something that he is learning and can continue to learn.
Well, let's
forward.
Hope, because he had turnovers in key situations at the end of games last year, and you think, okay, well, he would have learned from those mistakes last year. Well, he did the same thing in the game this year. So I hear what you're saying, but eventually you only get so many chances to figure out the lesson that you're supposed to learn. So we'll see, but I hear your point, Chris.
All right, my main takeaway from that game going into this game is the case of Ramondre Stevenson and what exactly you're supposed to do here. I think that there were a lot of calls for Ramondre Stevenson to get either benched or even cut, I think, after that two-fumble game, losing both of those fumbles in the red zone on the goal line. Just brutal, brutal turnovers for a guy who, I mean, he's been in the league a lot longer than Drake May. Mike Vrabel was asked about this and seemed as though maybe he's painted himself into a corner here, both in terms of game planning and personnel-wise, if you believe that he has a big say in over the personnel on this team and who's in that running back room. And when he was asked about what to do with Ramondre Stevenson, this was his answer.
With different packages, I'm sure if we go, you know, I don't know what the first package is, but if you're asking me if Ramondre is on some sort of discipline, no, the discipline is we need our best players to play in a game and do their job and take care of the football, and we all have to do that. And so Drake had an interception and a fumble. We're not going to play Josh right now. We have to fix those things. The people around them have to be better, and I'm confident that we will. And if it continues to I'm not going to talk about the alternative. I'll, you know, go down that road later. But you know, those are things that we have to get fixed, but we also have to do good things with the football and make people miss and make yards and catch it and block, you know, when they blitz. So we're confident that those guys can do that.
All right, so I think a lot of people had problems with what he had to say there. I was originally going to make this whole take about Ramondre Stevenson, but it's not really about Ramondre Stevenson. His problems are his problems. I think we know what he is at this point, as you said, Mago. And also something you said, we all were expected and advertised a much cleaner, tighter ship here with this Patriots team and Mike Vrabel as the head coach. And he basically just came out and said, listen, I know he fumbles all the time, but we need him and we got to keep him putting him out there and hoping that he's going to learn how to protect the ball. Which at this point, I mean, you could maybe make the argument that Belichick was a little quick to swing the axe, but this is ridiculous. I mean, this is year two of this, and, you know, if you're not going to discipline the guy at all, I feel like that's going to hurt the culture in that locker room, and I really thought that was going to go against everything that Mike Vrabel stood for. And, you know, like, if you just keep letting someone go out there and fumble, what's that culture going to look like in that locker room? I feel like it's going to go completely south.
Well, and it's not just the fumbling, right? I mean, that's the major thing. The turnovers were the biggest thing, especially in the freaking red zone, like,
yeah,
right on
the one-yard line.
Most ridiculous place that you could on the field. But on top of that, you look at somebody like Pop Douglas. And Pop Douglas on the fourth and one and not understanding where he is on the field or what he needs to do in that situation. That's where, with Ramondre, I think it's kind of ridiculous that Vrabel throws out the comparison of Drake turns it over, so are we going to turn to Josh Dobbs? Well, we are sitting here saying that the difference between Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson or Antonio Gibson is the chasm between Drake and Josh Dobbs. Like, that's just not equivalent to me. And I think when you look at somebody like Pop Douglas, I sit there and I go, well, why aren't we giving more of his reps in the slot to Steph Diggs? I mean, Pop Douglas is lining up 69 Bingo. Times so far through this season in the slot, and Diggs has only been there 48 times. Diggs, on every freaking gotta-have-it play, is there. Maybe he doesn't have the separation that Pop does, but he knows where he is on the field and where he's supposed to be, and he always catches it. And so some of this
is like, I feel
like
he would have picked up that first down.
But, yes! Yeah. It's frustrating to me when we go, like, do we know who our best players on this team is? Like, do we all agree on that? Do we understand who this team is? And it's early in the season, but that comparison to me was frustrating, Arcan, because, like, I just don't think it's a false equivalency to me.
Well, yeah. And it also goes against the way Mike was coached. Mike was coached differently. So you would think maybe he'd carry some of the the same principles and teaching that he was taught when he was a player. So, if guys, you said it, Christian. I mean, you're trying to establish a culture of accountability. The best way to do that is to punish guys, take away their reps. That is the biggest motivator in getting them to kind of stop making the mistakes and go from there. What would you do, Mago, Chris, with Ramondre today? How would you handle
sit him the first quarter?
Ted, it's actually great you bring that up because that's my big takeaway of the day. I have a number for you, 702. Do you know what that number represents? The amount of times since Travion Henderson was a freshman at Ohio State, he has touched the football up till this day without dropping the ball on the ground, without fumbling.
That's a
702
really good
touches. Seven! Yep, 702 touches he has had since being a freshman at Ohio State without fumbling the football.
And it's also the area code of Henderson County, Nevada.
Look at that.
Wow.
Excellent. Great pull by you, Arkan. Yeah.
This is a stat nug right here.
Good job, Clark
County, Nevada.
He has been targeted 11 times already in the NFL, hasn't even dropped a pass. Like, the guy, just give the guy the football. He should be your starting
Says
running back
Says the guy
today.
Wearing the Henderson jersey.
You're damn right. I'm not going to deny it. I am a homer. Don't care. He should be running the football. I don't want to see the toss on 4th-and-1 anymore, Ted. I want to see a toss on 1st or 2nd down. That toss we saw in the preseason game where Travion Henderson gets outside the tackle and picks up 18 yards needs more of that today. He should be starting this game. He should lead the team in carries. I'm not saying sit Ramondre the entire game, but Travion Henderson should lead the team in carries and catches today.
The counter to that would be, have you seen him blocking in the blitz pickup?
Yeah, you throw in Antonio Gibson and Ramondre.
No, I haven't seen him do it. Is the point.
Right. Yeah, it'd be nice if we ever saw that.
But, let's see him on early down.
I hear you. The only thing you worry about that is then you're tipping off the defense. Like if he's out, then okay, it's a pass. If he's in, it's a run. But
you can still run the ball with Ramondre and Antonio Gibson on third down. I think that's the thing, is they all three running backs can do everything. So you still provide yourself the versatility, but you give the more explosive guy that you can trust to not drop the football more reps.
I like Shime's opening take. Very good.
It's a good
came
take.
In, came in hot.
I think we
Thank
all
you.
Like good opening takes personally, but I like Shime's too.
Thank you.
And all your opening takes are sponsored by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage and donate that old car to Cars for Kids. See how easy it is. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, or online at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And the number 4, that was the voice of Chris Shime. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. It's been a pretty wild week here for the Patriots. Christian Gonzalez is back. Unfortunate announcement for their defensive coordinator, and much more topics that we will get to here as we move on with Football Sunday on WEEI.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots kick off at Gillette 1 o'clock this afternoon to take on Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. Some injury news around the NFL. Chris Godwin will make his season debut for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. Baker Mayfield also was banged up all week, but he is a go today for the Bucs. Justin Fields will return Monday night from having a concussion against the Dolphins, and the Ravens have placed defensive lineman Justin Matabike on IR. We've already started international play here in the NFL, Vikings and Steelers. Currently underway in Dublin, Ireland, the Steelers with a lead, 14-3 right now on the Vikings. DK Metcalf just had a massive touchdown reception that he took basically a slant to the house. And would be nice to have a guy like that. In the 1 o'clock window, Commanders at Falcons, Saints at Bills, Browns at Lions, Chargers at Giants, Eagles at Buccaneers, and Titans at Texans. In the 4 o'clock window, we get the Colts at the Rams, the Jaguars at the 49ers, where Brock Purdy is supposed to be making his return today, the Ravens at the Chiefs, the big 4 o'clock game, and then the Bears at the Raiders. In Sunday Night Football, we have Micah Parsons returning to Dallas as a Green Bay Packer to take on the Cowboys. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20. In non-football news, the Red Sox lost to the Tigers last night 2-1. They'll go again with the Tigers this afternoon. First pitch 3:05 right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game for you. Make sure to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 2:05 with Joe Weil. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Sunday here, WEEI live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Arcan here with you. Shime time. Ted Johnson, Megan Ottolini. We're going to go inside the locker room with Mego here in about 20 minutes. But first, that was the voice of defensive back Christian Gonzalez, who doesn't talk a lot, so you may not have known that right away, but that was Christian Gonzalez. It looks like he is questionable to play, but he practiced this week after being out nearly 2 months here with a hamstring injury, an injury that has been talked about a lot and a lot of different takes on it for sure. We've had conversations about this over the first 3 weeks, as I think this Patriots secondary has sorely missed him in a lot of these games. Certainly in that first game against the Raiders, I think that was the most glaring one. And I would have loved to have had him on DK Metcalf last week, too.
There you go.
Certainly. So he'll maybe be back today. It's questionable to play. We've not gotten an announcement. We'll know for sure in about an hour. But Christian Gonzalez says he wants to be back. I know that was being questioned by people out there as well. If he makes his debut today, what's kind of Christian Gonzalez do you expect to see, Teddy?
That's a good question. Being out for 2 months, he's been out 2 months to the day today. So September 28th, and he got hurt to July 28th. So 2 months to the day. You know, the fact that they hardly practice in pads or anymore, like, you just wonder how effective he's going to be. My guess, he'll be on a snap count, but he was definitely could have helped this team win. Maybe stop one of the play. You know, Carlton Davis is covering DK Metcalf. Mm. If it was Christian Gonzalez covering DK Metcalf, maybe that's not a touchdown. Alex Austin gets called for two penalties on third downs, extend drives that lead to touchdowns. If one of those plays, Christian Gonzalez is on that, maybe they don't get a penalty and they don't score. So, and you mentioned the Vegas game. I think they were just a few plays away from winning that game. If he's out there, I think he makes a difference. So his impact is huge. Particularly, I'm trying to figure out with the way we're going to get into maybe talking about the coordinators, but Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator who's going to be sidelined right now for health reasons, he coached that first game against Las Vegas, and they blitzed. They were attacking, blitzing defense. All training camp, Mago, you were out there every day. All you saw was a blitzing, attacking, aggressive defense when Terrell Williams was the defensive coordinator. And after that first game, in which he had to take some time off for health reasons, Zach Core came in as the middle linebacker coach, started calling plays, and they went very conservative the last two games, hardly blitzed at all. And with Christian Gonzalez back there, you can be more aggressive and more blitzing in your play calling with him back there. So I hope they kind of turn up the heat and get back to that style with Christian Gonzalez out there. That, to me, is the biggest asset that you can afford to be aggressive when he is back there in coverage.
Well, and I think one of the other things, too, is I don't think they realized how much pressure they were going to get with their front four. Like, beginning of the season, I don't know that they were super confident that they were going to be able to get pressure with four, and they have been. Like, Milton Williams can get after it, man. Like, they've gotten some pressure with just the four. Like, maybe not as much as, you know, other teams like Philly or something like that, but mm-hmm. you're still able to get some pressure and move the pocket a little bit, and so I think that has allowed them to play a little bit more conservative, a little bit less guys in the box, and so I think you might see some of that going forward. But with Christian Gonzalez, you're right. I think it allows you the opportunity that if you want to get aggressive, mm-hmm. you're totally able to, because he should be able to take a guy like Tet McMillan out of the game.
I think the biggest question a lot of fans have going into this game is he going to be on basically a pitch count?
Right.
Because he's been out for two freaking months
probably
with this hamstring injury. I asked him in the locker room if he felt like it was going to be a big challenge for him to feel like he's in game shape, because as you said, Ted, like, they don't practice in full pads the way that they did when you were in the league and the way that they did even
they hardly do it at all
ago.
Right, they yeah. hardly yeah. ever
so this
pads
is
in.
Something that I would love for Ted to detail the definition of full pads at this point, because Mike Vrabel has gone back and forth with that question at different points, and it's very obvious when the guys are out there in like shells and shirts and shorts. But this idea of full pads, full hitting, you know, they're hardly ever tackling to the ground these days. This doesn't happen anymore. But with somebody like Christian Gonzalez, it's important to note that the day that he went out with that injury was the first day that they were hitting in practice. Mm. Was the first day they were in actual pads in practice. So it's not just that he was out for 2 months, but he didn't do any of that all summer.
Yeah.
And then you wonder what they're doing behind the scenes leading up to game day to make sure these guys are healthy as well.
I would be curious to that myself. I will say this. If there's any game for him to come back and integrate himself into the defense, this is the game. I mean, Tet McMillan might not even play because of a calf strain. So we'll see.
Did you see him flying around yesterday? Like he took off and you could see him almost like gliding. Like he caught a pass over the defensive back and it was almost like he would just took off.
He's like a dementor.
He's unbelievable. Yeah,
don't touch the ground.
It was really. I'll find the clip for you. It was really
He's
something.
A phantom.
He
on
is
the
expected
field.
To play by the way today, okay. According to RotoWire.
Okay. Well, the second leading receiver formed. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, he is not playing. So, I mean, if Tet McMillan's out there, he might not be 100%. You know, Hunter Renfro is an issue. But I would just think that you probably just put Christian Gonzalez on Tet. Or you put him maybe on Hunter Renfro or in double-team Tet in certain situations. I think they maybe they don't want to put him on the receiver as good as Tet just yet. Put him on like the two or three and then double team Tet in certain situations, and that would be a way to handle it. But they need him out there. He needs to be out there. The passing defense is one of the worst passing defenses in the NFL. And what's interesting, you mentioned they get pass rush with four guys. They do. They get after it. Their pressure rate is really high with four, but yet they're still giving up big plays.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So they need to complement
that
pass rush.
That's what happens
when
you bite on a 3-20 on a slant when he's clearly not running a slant.
So they need smarter secondary play, and Christian is a smart, obviously, cornerback.
Yeah, and I think – so I would ask the room. I've kind of set my own personal number, and I think he plays like 50% of the snaps on defense today. We've taken the over, we've taken the under, or is that just about right?
I think that's about right. I could see that. I could see him he's not going to have a full workload, but I think part of it is just how's the game playing out? How's he feeling? And
if it's close, I don't think they're going to pull him off the field. You know, like I think they're going to be really trying to win this game. I think the Patriots looking at
they
this as
win.
A, you know, like maybe in their minds they're going to say, yeah, let's try and keep him at 50-50. But down the stretch, Bryce Young's driving, they're going to put him out there.
Arkan, this goes back to some of what we were just talking about with Mike Vrabel, where it's not a disciplinary thing, but it was surprising to me to hear from Gonzalez that Vrabel was the one who made the decision, who
Vrabel
told him, you're sitting down this week, you're not going out there, and Gonzalez was not happy about it last week. Like, are we going to see a situation where they are looking at the potential to win and they pull Gonzalez off the field and that could be a game-changing decision? Like, I don't know what to expect from Mike Vrabel at this point because it's not who I thought he was going to be so far.
It could be very Red Sox with their pitchers earlier in the season-esque. Like, I don't think that they want to overexert him. I don't think that they have any kind of expectations to win a playoff game or even necessarily even be in the playoffs at this point. I think Mike Vrabel is very much slow playing this. It has never seemed like there is any kind of urgency down there to win, like, now. So I do not think that they are going to risk hurting Christian Gonzalez for the long term. I know. And that's fine. You don't have to like it. I'm just saying, like, from the way it feels like there is very little urgency to win down now.
Isn't that
there.
A problem?
I think he feels like he is building something. He felt like last year and even the year before were so putrid, he had to strip it down to the studs and start over, and that takes a little bit of time.
That doesn't seem like it would be a popular position with ownership.
Yeah, like, hey, we're not going to win today, but wait for a year from now?
Is it just how he handled Christian Gonzalez is the indicator that's the way you feel that way?
I think it's been everything that Mike Vrabel has handled this, like, just like all often, like the lack of pads, like some of the there have been decisions in game.
This is what I was kind of asking Ted. Is that a Vrabel thing? And sorry to jump in.
No.
That the lack of pads, is that a Vrabel thing or is that the league direction?
I think that's Mike deciding to do. I mean, the league's trending that way, but if you have 14 padded practices that you're afforded, and he's not using all of those, then that's a Mike Vrabel thing.
Like, and I think clearly he has in-game, right? Mike clearly wants to try and win the football game. That is his ultimate goal. He wants to try and win. That's why he goes forward on fourth and one from his own end of the field. That's why he will continue to do that. That's who Mike Vrabel is. But in the grand scheme of things, it just feels like the urgency isn't there to be a uber competitive team in the upper echelon of the AFC.
I don't know. I can't sign off on that.
That's a tough place to start.
I just think Mike, I mean, you can see it on his face. I think he's frustrated. I think he's feeling the stress. I think it's, I mean, there's people, dude, we had a guy calling in WEI Afternoons. It was like, Vrabel's job should be on the line if they lose this game,
oh my
which
God.
Is insane.
That's crazy. Like, there needs to be a balance between urgency and realistic expectations.
Right.
But as the head coach, when you're setting the culture, it's win every freaking Sunday, not, well, we're going to take our lumps this year. We had that all last year. Like, it's just not acceptable at this point, even if you are taking it down to the studs and turning over more than half the roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, wherever this ends up going, I mean, it could be more a referendum on Mike Vrabel or a referendum on Christian Gonzalez. And I think that that's the other sort of aspect of this that people are not super comfortable with. If this is going to be your best player, if this is going to be a guy that you build that entire defense around, is he going to be missing time like this? Is this going to be a common problem for him? It's already been a problem very early in his career. And, you know, you hate to see that with someone that you know is very talented and that you know could be a special player in this league. Another thing happened this week, along with Gonzalez coming back, and that was Mike Vrabel announcing that Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator, has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. We don't know exactly what his future is going to hold. We know that for the time being, Nick Kor is going to be taking over defensive play calling. He's already been doing that. In fact, he's basically been the de facto DC for most of this offseason and this regular season, since Williams' health has just been such an issue. Any type of, I don't know, upheaval, if that's the right word, but any type of
like
rearranging,
disruption
of the defensive coaching staff, Ted, you may be able to speak to that,
yeah.
Obviously more than we can, but you know, he hasn't been around a lot anyway, and this defense has had some issues.
Yeah, no, oh my gosh, you know, big time. I mean, this defense has been, I mean, it's crazy to think that this defense is way worse than the offense. You know, DVOA is kind of my, all, you know, I think it's the stat, you know, the metric that kind of clearly tells you what your team's about. And the Patriots are like 27th in DVOA on defense. And then the offense, I think, is top 15 or 17, I think.
Yeah.
And that's kind of surprising. We never would have thought that going into the season.
They're not exactly going against Brady and Moss lately,
nope,
either.
Fair here, point. Yeah. Nope, fair. That's all fair. But there is a little bit of not dysfunction or disconnectedness, being, you know, he's in, he's out, but they are kind of used to him not being there. He wasn't there for OTAs. He was there, you know, in training camp and for the first game, but not the last two games. So I think they're used to not having Terrell, but it does, I think it can overall impact their performance, because who do we listen to? Is Terrell in? Is he not? And I think maybe Terrell sees the game different than Zach Kor does, right? So they can be mixed messages. Are we on the same page? Are we all trying to do the same thing with these guys being in and out different times? I think it can wear on the defense a little bit. So if Terrell looks like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future, then they don't have to worry about changing in philosophies and styles when one guy's in there versus the other guy.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, because I think, you know, you pointed out the blitzing difference earlier. I think that it could be in large part just because Zach Kor may be more conservative. That may be the big difference there. It may be the quarterbacks that they played. They felt like they needed to get more pressure on Geno and rush his process Tua. You just want to play deep against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It could be just matchup based. So maybe this
could
week
be.
Versus Bryce Young, we see a higher blitz percentage. I don't really know yet. We have such a small sample size, but losing the guy you had handpicked to originally lead your defense, at least play calling wise, is tough. Like, that is not an easy thing to overcome.
It's not.
You tend to sometimes lose that identity, and you don't want that to happen for this defense, especially with Christian Gonzalez coming back eventually. Like, this week, you want the entire defense to feel like they are kind of in harmony, and losing Terrell may hinder that.
I get the sense that Terrell, you know, like, if you heard Coach Parcells talk in his Hall of Fame speech last week. He talked about when he looked at players, he would see players when he was trying to figure out who to draft, and he'd see a player that reminded him of a player. And that's how he drafted guys, right? For instance, when he drafted me, when he called me after I got drafted, 5 minutes after I got drafted, I get on the phone with Parcells, and he said I reminded him of Steve Nelson. And Steve, love you, mean it. I'd never watched him play because I was in San Diego. They never had Patriots game. But when I got here and learned, that's a nice compliment. I think Mike sees Romeo Crennel in Terrell Williams. I think that's what he sees. He's got the same temperament, the same vibe. He's like a grandfather kind of guys. He doesn't rip you. He kind of, you don't want to disappoint him. And that kind of having that type of defensive coordinator. I had that with Steve Sidwell. I had that with Romeo Crennel. I think that it really helps to have a hard-nosed head coach with a softer defensive coordinator. That was what Terrell, I think, offered. And now that he's not there, I think that's going to be missed.
Yeah, and I think that obviously the most important thing is he gets healthy, and hopefully this, if there was the health stuff that was impacting him earlier in the year that kept him away from the team at points and early in the offseason, maybe it goes back to this and so they can, take care of him overall. But I also feel like from Mike Vrabel's perspective of his first year as a head coach here, it's a big loss for him personally. Mm. I mean, this is his guy who he brought from Tennessee back in the day.
It's like the first guy he hired, I think.
Right. And so it's a obviously like a trusted confidant and somebody who he works very closely with. And so you talked about seeing the frustration written on Mike Vrabel's face when they're having some of these losses. And I wonder, like, it does put him in a tougher spot. We talk about what it means for the defense, what it means for the identity of the team, and how Mike Vrabel's rookie season goes, I think can't be ignored either.
In calling defenses, it's a skill. It's an art,
especially in today's NFL. Yeah. You need to be so good at disguising coverage,
just in game planning, and knowing when to call the blitz and when not to call the blitz, and when to, when to put a guy in versus another guy. There's subtleties to it. There's nuance.
I mean, you look at a guy like Mike McDonald out in Seattle and what he did when he was with the Ravens and the constant shifting of the safeties before the snap of the ball to try and confuse the quarterback. Like, so Kyle Williams is in the box. Now he's deep. Now he's back in the box. And you're constantly moving things in order to try and disguise what you want to do, because these quarterbacks, especially the really good ones, are so good at figuring out what you're doing before the ball's even snapped.
Very good. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you would like to jump in on the conversation, we'll have phone lines open for you. But when we come back, Megan Ottolini goes inside the locker room. We will hear from return specialist and defensive back Marcus Jones on this matchup coming up here with the Carolina Panthers and the first 3 weeks of the season as well. That's all coming up next here on Football Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Megan Ottolini was inside the locker room this week, and who'd you speak to, Megan?
I spoke with Marcus Jones, captain of this team. We talked a little bit about some of the ups and downs on the defense, but also overall, when they come off a loss like they had last week, which I thought was a really dumb loss. That was a very winnable game, and they look at Carolina coming off of a 30-0 win that Carolina had over Atlanta. How much he believes in that momentum carrying game to game, and as a captain of the team, kind of what they've been preaching to these guys.
This might be sound like a silly question, but when you're facing a team like Carolina that's coming off of such a big win, do you believe that momentum carries game to game, or is momentum just like an in-game thing?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to getting W's, you know, people's confidence do build, you know what I mean? So, you know, being able to get a W and then going into the next week's help everyone's, you know, confidence when it comes to playing another opponent. So, yeah, I would say that.
What do you think was a difference in the way that you guys approached the game as a defense and especially as a secondary last week that led to a really strong performance for you?
Our main thing is just making sure that we're all on the same page, you know, communicating. There's always good and bad, you know, when it comes down to it. So we just always preach about everything that we're doing good, consistently just keep doing it. And the things that, you know, that we need to get corrected, we got to make sure we get corrected because everyone watches film. So they try to exploit the things that we didn't do good at. But that's the main thing. Make sure we do the adjustments on the sideline, talk to one another, and then just play our style of football.
Early in the season, how would you say that your group of captains have embraced that role, and especially through some of these, a couple tough losses, ones that really could have been W's for you guys if a couple things have gone a different way?
Yeah, I feel as though we've embraced it in a great way. And then the guys, you know, that's, you know, willing to take on the leadership and everything like that is very important as well. They've listened, you know, we got to get back to work and then to stack up the days, because there's small little things that, you know, you can't have in the game that affects the whole score. You know, you never know what play it is and everything. So we just always preach, you never know what play can affect the whole game, but take it one play at a time. And if you do have a bad play, flush it down the toilet and don't let it affect you for the rest of the game.
What do you think it says about your defense that you've been able to roll with some of these punches, be it Christian's injury or, you know, Terrell being away at different points, that you guys were able to still really put up a great performance last week? It seems like you're improving rather than getting derailed by some of these things.
Yeah, I feel as though, you know, we've built something since OTAs and training camp. So we know what we're kind of like preparing for, you know, what we're fighting for, you know, when it comes down to building a relationship with the other person that's next to you, you know. So our thing is we play our style of defense, and no matter who it is on the field, it's next man up, whether it's, you know, coaches or even, you know, players. We want to make sure the standard is the standard and keep it consistently no matter what room it is.
Last week, some of the offensive players were saying they felt like the biggest, not issue, but the biggest point that they were working on was their communication. Do you feel like you guys have a lot of strong voices on the defense, and how is that coming along?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. It come along great. I feel as though, you know, we have leaders that, you know, make sure we talk. You got to talk every single time on defense to know about adjustments and everything. So we've been doing good with that, but you can always end up getting better with that. Over-communication helps out in the situation of lack of communication. So we make sure to try to dial those in every play.
We're sitting here Wednesday, but it seems like Christian is trending, hopefully, towards a return. How big of a difference does he make in your secondary?
It's great having him out there. We built a relationship with Plan, you know, on the same side and playing with each other throughout the years in ball. And it's been great, you know, having him alongside, you know, whenever he's ready, he'll be out there and stuff like that. But, you know, just taking it day by day. But other than that, we're going to try to hold it down for sure.
All right, that was Marcus Jones with Megan Ottolini. Mego in the locker room after a tough game like that and a whole week to think about it. Did that serve? Was that one of those losses that kind of hung over the team a little bit?
I think one thing that was interesting to me is, like, because there are these different beliefs about momentum. And when you're this early in the season, and he talked about having the confidence of coming off of a win, that that does carry over to the next week. That's something that when we talk about the missed opportunity of that Steelers game is another kind of notch in that belt to me, where you could be stacking these games. You could be building the confidence, especially for a team that is lacking experience behind its quarterback and in many other really important parts of the team. Like, I think that that's what I took away from that the most, is that this is not a locker room that is very down on themselves or losing motivation or losing belief in the coach or anything like that. It's so early, but they're missing the opportunity to feel like they have the momentum, that they're building something, that they have confidence in themselves and know exactly who they are.
And that's, I'm a big believer in the catching momentum. The, you know, the Patriots in the last few years, They start to get momentum and then they lose it. They can't they can't hold on to momentum even in games or in seasons, right? And it's a good point you're making, Mago. This team, I can see this loss hurting because what you do is, you know what you do as players? If you're on an away game, you always get the stat sheet.
Yeah.
And so we can see, you know, all of us want to see all the stats, right? And you sit down and you look at the stat sheet, if you're the Patriots, and you go, oh, we kicked their ass.
Right. Like down the field, you kicked their ass.
203 yards of total offense, and we lost the game? Are you kidding me? And that's what makes it. I mean, you go on these 12, 15 play drives, you get down to the goal line, and then you fumble it. That's a killer, right? Right before halftime, you have a chance to extend your lead, and you throw an interception. And so they're not good at capturing momentum and using it to their advantage. And so it'd be nice. I mean, hell, when's the last time they've won two games in a row around here? It's been, what, 2 years?
2023?
3 years.
Yeah.
So that that tells you exactly what I'm talking about. They can't even get back-to-back wins. So, but I will say this. If they don't win today, it's not going to be fun on Monday. Not going to be fun. They got to win. You just hang
especially
around.
Especially because you got the Bills.
Hang around 500. Just be around 500. Get to 500. All season long, and you give yourself a chance at the end.
Regardless of who you beat, like if I told you during the preseason this team after 4 weeks was 2-2, you're feeling all right about it.
You'd be okay with
it. You're not amazing. It's not like, oh, this is the best thing ever, but you're like, okay, cool. Like, we're winning half of our games already. This is in the right direction. Then you get the Bills, but then you get that weak stretch of Saints, Titans, Browns.
Right.
I don't know how good the Falcons are. Four very winnable games following that Bills game that put you in a really nice position.
Okay, you want to know the last time they won consecutive games?
2022.
Yep. That's it
insane.
Was that stretch of games through the bye week where they beat the Jets, Zach Wilson, and then I think Sam Ellinger with the Colts. There was 10-3, 26-3. They also had back-to-back wins against Detroit and Cleveland. Bailey Zappi beat those two teams earlier on in the season, and that was the last time that they've had back-to-back
wins. Yeah, and that 10-3 game, they didn't score an offensive touchdown. That was the Marcus Jones punt return touchdown game.
That is correct. And by the way, speaking of guys in momentum, Marcus Jones was my favorite player that year. He was my favorite player on the whole team.
He was the most explosive.
And then the next year he goes down with that injury very early on, and now he's back and he's playing, but you haven't seen quite that same explosiveness yet. I'd love to see that again from him.
Well, not today, because they have the whole dirty kicks.
That's right.
Have you guys heard enough about that?
I'm tired of the dirty kicks, but we will get to that as well. And we'll get to They Said It with Chris Schein, which is coming your way right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.